truth. That's what we're here this morning, preach the truth. The scripture that read, if you'll turn to John chapter 6 again, where Brian read. John 6. Verses 35 through 40. I want to look at the last two, verse 39 and verse 40. There's a phrase in there that I'm using for my lesson tonight. Oh, by the way, if you're visiting with us, we're glad to have you here this morning. And I also like to give you a special invitation to come back tonight to hear Brother Bobby. And I'm looking forward to that. I really am. He does a great job. John 6, 39 and 40. 39 says, but I should raise it up at the last day. Verse 40, and I will raise him up at the last day. So that's what my title is this morning, is the last day. Now, I want to go ahead and do something that Hal doesn't normally do, preacher doesn't normally do. I did it the last time I presented on Wednesday night. I want to go ahead and offer the invitation. By that I mean, if you're not a Christian, why not? I know the majority of us, most of us here, are Christians this morning. And God bless you for being one. But if you're not a Christian, what's holding you back? What's keeping you from becoming a child of God? Because we have evidence. If you believe this word, this Bible, whatever translation you read, it gives us enough evidence in the New Testament alone that there's going to be problems coming in this world, more than we have now. And the only thing that we have as Christians is to look forward to the promises that have been given us. About, we can go to Revelation 22 and read the description of what heaven's going to look like. And I don't know if that's what it's going to be or not. I think John just was given inspiration and wrote it in a manner that we can understand how beautiful it's going to be. But it's going to be more beautiful than anything we'll have here on this earth. And in fact, there's not going to be an earth. You know, we have enough evidence of that. If you accept by faith what the Word says, the earth's going to be burned up. And I'm sorry, there's just not going to be anything here. So there's only two choices, two places to go. Your choice. God gives us that choice. So we're going to look at the last day. Now, I'm old school, so we don't have up there on the screen. So I hope you will take your Bibles or your electronic versions and follow along. And if I say anything that's out of line or not in accordance with God's Word, please let me know. All right, we already have talked about this morning that the Lord will be returning. He will be raised up at that last day. We know John chapter 14 talks about this. Jesus made a promise. If I go, I will come again. That is a promise. And we know Christ never lied. There was no guile found in his mouth at all. And so we can take that to heart. We can accept that. And I hope we can accept that we will be Christians when he comes back. So that you could say that the title of this lesson not would be the last day, but it's a lesson on will be. And you know me, if you've heard me speak, you know I'm a fellow that likes to do word studies. So we're going to look at will be's of the New Testament. Will be. And it's not one word, it's two. W-I-L-L-B-E. Will be. The first one, the dead will be raised. John chapter 5, verses 25 through 30. Said, most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming, in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Now Jesus, his total being here on this earth, when he was here on this earth for some 30 years, was to do the will of God, do the will of his Father. And it didn't matter what it cost him, he was going to do God's will. Well, it did cost him his own life, but he went back to the Father. And that should be our life. We should want to do the will of God. Because I want to be there. I want to be. I have got a new list in my life. Things have changed. And, you know, you talk to people as they get older in years. I still don't consider myself that old, but I'm getting there, getting older in years. We have what you call a bucket list. Well, I used to have a bucket list that when my daughter was in California, I went out there and got to see a few things. And I always had a bucket list that I wanted to go back. Back when I played golf, I wanted to go play in California because the courses were beautiful until I found out how much they cost. And I wanted to go and see the giant redwoods and go take a trip through them. But I have since changed that. I was not really, quote unquote, as big a Christian, if you can say that, as I feel like I am now. But now I have a new bucket list. My bucket list is I want to go to heaven. And I hope that's yours too. Excuse me. We see the dead that are going to be raised. The dead will be raised first. John chapter 6, one page over, verses 39 through 44. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. Well, we can't see the Son. We don't get to see Christ, but we get to hear his words. And that just is good. For us, it is anyway. Now, how many of us would have been like seeing all the miracles and everything that Jesus performed to prove who he was? Because he had the absolute power. He could do that. And he did the miracles to convince people. But would we have been so accepted of Jesus if we had seen and not accepted, seen his miracles? That everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph? Whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Well, see, the Pharisees in particular, had a problem with Christ. He did not come with all the pomp and circumstance. You know, he come down with a guard or things like that. He came to the common people, to the poor people, born in a manger. Is this where the king should be born? No, the king should be born in the palace, in, you know, the king's household. But Jesus was born in a lowly manger. And he was teaching everything against what they were teaching. He was teaching about things to come. It was not about what you got in this lifetime, but it's about sowing the seed. It's about sowing the seed. And that's what we should be doing. We should be out, even by our very lives, sowing the seed. People should look at us and say, well, why are you so different? Good. Let's sit down. Let's talk about this. Why am I so different? I want to go to heaven. Well, that's just hearsay. That's just what you think. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's sit down. If you can believe what the Word of God says, then believe what the New Testament says. Then you too, I hope, that you would want to change your ways. So we see that the dead will be raised. The living will be changed. 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 58 says, now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You mean I can't go up there like this? This body is not perfect. Nor does corruption, and I'm corrupt. This body is corrupt. It's getting older. It's wearing out. It hurts in the morning to get up. Cannot inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. There we go again. We've got to be changed. We've got to be no longer perfect. It means I won't need these. Boy, I do need them now. The corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. That will be us. Death will be swallowed up in victory. We won't have to worry about death anymore. So the living will be changed. The dead will be raised first, then the living will be changed. Now, the next point. All. Notice I said all. Not some, not a few. All will be judged. 2 Timothy 4:1, Paul writes, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. The living and the dead. If we believe scriptures like all scripture is given by inspiration of God, 1 Timothy also, do we believe that? Then we can believe that all will be judged. Acts 10:42, and he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it was he who was ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. Everybody is going to be judged from the beginning of time up until whenever Christ comes back again. We will all be judged. And then in John chapter 12, verses 48 through 50, he who rejects me, this is Christ speaking, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. And what's going to judge? It's going to be the word that I have spoken. Will judge him in that last day, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father's, who sent me and gave me a command at what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. So his words are going to be what judges us. Now, where can we go to find those words? We can go to the New Testament. We can go to the Testament, New Testament. So we see that the dead will be raised. First of all, the Lord will return. The dead will be raised. The living will be changed. All will be judged. One of the hard parts, there will be a great separation. Matthew 25, verses 30 to 34. 31 through 34. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. I sure want to be a shepherd. Not a shepherd, but we're going to have the good shepherd. I sure want to be a sheep. I don't want God to look at me and say, you're a goat. You're a goat. And I want to be on his right hand, because the next scripture says, and he will set the sheep on his right hand, the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, I want to be a sheep and I want to be on his right hand. Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So as long as we're a sheep, and Christ has always been called the Good Shepherd. As it heard me speak before, if you think about it, and you go back and look in the Bible, what animal is in the Bible the most? It's not the lion, not the eagle, it's the sheep. Mentioned over 500 times in the Bible as sheep. And we as sheep, we need to have a shepherd to follow. Not a hireling, but a shepherd. A shepherd who will lay down his life for us if necessary. And Christ did. Christ laid his life down for us. Come ye blessed of my Father on his right hand. So I want to be a sheep. I want to be on his right hand. Because the kingdom that has been prepared, it says, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then also, just a few verses down, verse 41 through 46. Then he will also say to those on his left hand, this is why I want to be on the right, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. If we're not belonging to Christ, if we're not a sheep, if we're not on his right hand, then we are one of the devil's angels. Christ even told us, he said, you're either for me or against me. If you're for me, you'll be a sheep, you'll be on my right hand. If you're not, you're a goat and you're on the left. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer and say, assuredly, because I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to the least of one of these, one of my people, one of my children, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal glory. Now, if you're following along, that's not what my translation says. Everlasting punishment. But the righteous. So if you're a goat, and on his left side, where are you going to be? Everlasting punishment. I want to be a sheep. I want to be on his right hand, where I will go into with the other righteous into everlasting eternal life. Strange. Everlasting words, everlasting punishment, eternal life, eternal words. Eternal, everlasting. If you look at it up in the dictionary, they both mean basically the same thing. Longer than we can comprehend in this life. Now, I've been a Christian for some almost 40 years. I haven't been the best Christian. I've been a human Christian, which means I fall far short of what God expects of me. But when he tells us these things that we are to do to add to our lives, that means we are to be busy. We grow. We don't just say, well, I've accomplished all that. I can take it easy. I can stand still. I can step back. No, we can't. We have to keep going. We have to keep growing. We have to keep adding. So you're either going to everlasting punishment or everlasting eternal life. And God gives us the choice. We have that ability to make those choices. Let's make the right choice. And going along with that, reward will be given. 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8 says, For I am already poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. This is the Apostle Paul. He's about ready to give up his life. But he says, I have fought the good fight. Now we could go back and look at Paul's life and the things that he was doing. The thing about Apostle Paul, if you've noticed, if you've studied, when he was Saul of Tarsus, and he had it in his mind, he thought he was doing right. He thought by getting rid of this sect that was out here, getting rid of it, getting letters from the leaders that he could go into different territories, have them taken away to prison, hauling them off to jail, having them put in the Colosseum, taking them to Rome, getting rid of them. He thought he was doing God's work. But God said, no, you're not doing what I want you to do. You are going to be a chosen vessel of mine to go. I have fought the good fight. Once he became Paul, he turned himself around 360 degrees. And instead of trying to get rid of the sect, he tried to get people to come to it, to become part of it. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. There is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. Day is capitalized. That means that's an important day, day of judgment. And not to me only, but all those who have loved his appearing, who love to hear what God's Bible says, what God's Word says, the things given to us, that we have the opportunity. We are very fortunate. We can go any bookstore and you can pick up as many translations as you want. You can go and with your electronic phones, electronic tablets. You can take it with you everywhere you go and study and see what's given. Now, I know me. The first thing I do is get up in the morning. That's the first thing that I go to. I go to my Bible. I want to know what's God, and I know what God has in plan. God's got in store for me. If I am obedient, then I will go to the place. I will be the sheep. I will be on his right hand. I will go into everlasting glory. If I don't follow what he says, if I'm not obedient, I'll be a goat. I'll be on his left side. Eternal punishment. I want to see Paul. I want to get up to heaven and I want to meet him. I really do. That's on my bucket list. I want to meet the Apostle Paul face to face. Of course, we're all going to be busy working when we get there. People say, well, you know, you get to retire. You get to take it easy. Not when you get to heaven. We're going to be worshiping God 24 hours of whatever the time frame there is. You know, we go 24 hours. But that's going to be our job when we get to heaven. We're going to be worshiping and praising God. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. This is still under the part about reward. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, or those who have passed away, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe, and we do believe, that Jesus died and rose again, there are witnesses that said the tomb was empty. Did they come and steal the body? No, they didn't come steal the body. They came. Christ rose. Christ left the tomb. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. We're going to get to a point in just a few minutes. We're going to talk about that because there is several teachings what's going to happen. We are going to meet the Lord in the clouds, meet him in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort those with these words. Those who are sad, no need to be. We have something to look forward to. Then again, if reward's going to be given to the sheep, what's going to happen to the goats? They're just going to be pushed to the side? If the sheep are going to be rewarded, the goats will be too. But it's going to be called vengeance. Vengeance will be taken. Romans 12:19 says, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So if we have friends, if we have people out there, we have friends that are not Christians, or we have acquaintances, or even out there people in the world that we don't know, and they do things to us, you know, that make us mad, and believe me, being human sometimes, especially, all right, you're out there, I'm out there driving on the interstate, coming home. If there's a lot of traffic, I could halfway overlook some of the things that do. But when you're out there and you're in the far left-hand lane, and there's nobody around you, and you look in your side mirror and you see this car coming up, and he comes over a little too quickly, and it's like, you know, what gives? What gives? So, you know, I honk my horn because I don't want nobody hitting me. And then he just, you know, goes around and speeds up, you know. So, if it was crowded and everything, I might could overlook that. But that's when I say the scripture that says, pray without ceasing. If you get on the road and you drive, you better say, Lord, get me there, please. Lord, help me to have a safe journey. Help me get to work. And then, you know, my favorite, though, is I look and I say, you know, people pass me, and I'm doing, you know, 70, I think, is the speed limit. Okay, I'm doing 65 because I don't want to take no chances. People pass me doing 80, and I said, man, you should have left earlier. But God is going to take vengeance on them. Maybe we passed them on the road, and they had a flat tire or something. I don't know. See, God had vengeance on them. But God took vengeance on you. You got repaid. I don't know. But vengeance will be taken. Let God have vengeance. Pray for these people. Pray for them. You know, pray that they have the opportunity to hear the gospel before Christ comes back. Otherwise, they will be a goat. They will be on the left. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire taking, there's the word, vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with There we go. Here comes the goat on the left with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. You know, when people look and say, you know, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, all you have to do is just say, in the beginning God. It's all you need. He's an awesome God. And if you follow me on Facebook, you know, I have people that will send me stuff and they'll say, well, you know, God is good. God is great. No. God is awesome. And that's the best superlative that I can think about God. God is an awesome God. The goats shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints, and I'm up here. I'm not up here for my glory. No. I'm up here sowing the seed, and hopefully some of it will take place that will make you, if you're not pleasing God, please change. Please change. Please do your best. Pray. So God will show you what he wants you to do. When he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Now I've got book, chapter, and verse to go by what I am presenting to you this morning. So if you have, well, Steve, isn't that your own thinking? Isn't that your own, you know, whatever you're going by? Uh-uh. That's why we need to have book, chapter, and verse when we're out there talking to our friends, talking to those that we may have the opportunity. You never know when you're going to come into a chance to stop and talk to someone and teach. And if people look at you and say, well, you know, you're weird, you're different. Good, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Why do you think I'm different? Why do you think I'm weird? Because I don't go along with what the crowd does? I don't want to go along with the crowd. If we know how many, and we can look, that there's only going to be a few. I want to be in that few. I want to be with a few of the sheep. I want y'all there too. I want all of us to make it to heaven. So we see that reward will be given also when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. One of the things that gets me about talking to people, if they say, well, you know, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. I can see it written in black and white, or my Bible has the words of Christ in red. See it in black and white or red and white. But, here comes that word, but. Now they're going to throw something out at you. I don't feel, or I don't think, that a God who loves us, and you say that God is love, would do that. Would send people to everlasting destruction, everlasting torment. It's what they have to look forward to. No, I believe that everyone will be saved. Everyone will go to heaven. That's not what my Bible teaches. I'm sorry. And it would be awesome if it was, that we could just live our lives like we wanted to, do everything that we wanted to do, and know that we were going to heaven. We've got to train ourselves, brethren. We've got to train ourselves. Okay, we've known that the Lord's going to return. He will be returning. The dead will be raised. The living will be changed. All will be judged. And I emphasize that word all. Nobody is going to be skipped. There's going to be a great separation. Reward will be given. Vengeance will be taken. And this is one that hits home. The last enemy will be destroyed. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 again. 25 and 26. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed. Excuse me. Is death. Death will be destroyed. Then finally, the reason I made the point that I made start with, people want to say that Jesus is going to come back. Okay, they agree with that. They'll go along with that. They accept that. They say that we're going to have the rapture. They say that we're going to be on this earth 1,000 years. No, it's not. The earth as we know it is going to be burned up. And I know you've heard this before. We're going to keep preaching it. The earth will be burned up. Will be. And believe me, if 4th of July, all right, 8 o'clock in the morning, I said, well, got to cut my grass. Riding lawnmower. So I get out there and start cutting. 8 o'clock in the morning. I figured, well, it'll be cool. You know, I don't want to wait till the afternoon. It'll be too hot. Got out there. Even on a riding lawnmower. Go out there and cut about an hour. Man, I got to get off of this thing. It's hot. Go up on the porch. Get a bottle of water. 30 minutes. 15 to 20 minutes. Go out there and cut another hour. Man, it is still hot. It's getting hotter. So I said, you know, it took me about 3 hours to get it done. No trimming got done. I said, mm-mm, it's too hot. I ain't going to be doing that. And it was not what you would call fervent. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. Man, I like y'all hearing them pages turn. I'm glad y'all are doing that. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, here's the kicker. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. So that means we don't know. If you know, and I've heard people say this before. I've heard preachers say this before. If we knew that a thief was coming, we'd be ready for him. You know, I'd be sitting there at my front door with a baseball bat. He'd come in my house. I'm going to get him. He's gonna be sorry he ever come in my house. You know. He's going to come as a thief in the night. We don't know when a thief is going to come. In which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with heat. Fervent heat. That's not just some little 4th of July, you know, it's 107 degrees outside and 100% humidity and you know, when you get done, you look like you took a shower in your clothes, you know, that kind of thing. The earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. How can Christ come back to something that is not going to be there? I'm no scientist. I was no scientist in high school. Science was one of my hardest classes, Larry. Sorry about that. You wasn't around to tutor me. But if something is burned up, how can someone come back to that? How can there be 1,000-year reign on this earth when there's nothing here to be on? I can't understand it. I never have. Never been able to. So what you do is you accept what God has given us in His Scriptures. All Scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for teaching. Teach the people. So the earth is not going to be around. And if it gets too hot, I want to be a sheep and I want to be on the right hand and I want to go up to everlasting glory. Finally, the kingdom will be delivered to the Father. The kingdom will be delivered to the Father. 1 Corinthians 15 again, verses 20 through 26. But now Christ is risen from the dead. Not Christ will be. Christ is risen from the dead, and it has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die. As in Adam all die. Even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. Afterward, those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end. When he delivers the kingdom to the God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule, all authority, and power. For he must reign till he has put enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Take your songbooks right quick before we go to the invitation hymn. And I had a friend of mine, and he's a brother, another congregation. So I had invited him to come. And he says, have you thought about this hymn? And I said, no, I hadn't. And it was a good idea. It was a good song. And I wish I'd have gotten in touch with Joel. Hymn 283. If you would, turn there, please. Turn to number 283. Don't take your place away from 304. 283. Sang this song for years. Sang it for years again. Doing a lesson like I prepared this morning. And now I had originally, this was not my original lesson. I was going to do one on the cross. But God, I think, instructed me and said, I want you to preach this. Because I was going through some notes. I was going through some passages. And this one hit me. 283, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. There's the word all again. All encompassing. Every one of us here will appear before the judgment seat. There's a great day coming. There's a great day coming. A great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by. When the saints and the sinners, the goats and the sheep, will be parted right and left. The goats on the left, the sheep, and the saved, the saints. Saints is another word for us, for Christians. Even though religious people, so-called religious people, have taken it where they have said, St. Peter, St. Paul, all this. Saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? There's a bright day coming. A bright day coming. There's a bright day coming by and by. But its brightness shall only come to them that love the Lord. And if you love the Lord, obey His word. Do what He says. Be obedient. Are you ready for that day to come? And then verse 3. There's a sad day coming. A sad day coming. Sad day coming by and by. When the sinner shall hear his doom, depart, I know you not. How many friends, how many family do you have that fit that? That fit that part. Depart, I know you not. Not enter into the joys that have been prepared for you. Depart, I know you not. Are you ready for that day to come? And then the chorus is, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? So that's the question I have for you this morning, brethren. Are you ready for the judgment day? If we were to hear the sound of the trumpet right now, and we see the dead in Christ, the dead in Christ, rising, and then we rise with Him to meet the Lord in the air, then we will know that we were ready, that we are sheep. We are on His right hand, and we will be judged, but we will be going to everlasting glory. There is a sad day coming. The sinner is going to hear his doom. Depart, I know you not. How many of those out there in the world would look and say, but God, haven't I done all these great things in your name? And it's going to be so sad when they hear these words, depart, I know you not. I don't want any of us here this morning to hear that. I want us to hear these words, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys. If you're not a Christian this morning, we're going to offer the invitation again. If you're not a Christian, why not? What's holding you back? I beg you, please, please, make those decisions. If you are a Christian, and know we are human. We're human. And we are going to fall far, far short of being perfect. Far short of glory. But God loves us enough that we are faithful. We are obedient. Our sins will be taken away from us, and we won't have to hear that. If you've done anything that's of public nature and you need to come forward at this time, please do. Please come forward. This congregation forgives. It's a loving congregation. We're here to help. So if we can do anything, if you'll go ahead and turn to number 304, why do you wait? Would you please come if you have a need at this time?